Hey guys, welcome back to the Music That Made America. My name's Jacob.
And my name is Jordy.
And we took a little bit of a hiatus. Things
bit.
Just got a little rough, but it was about a year and a half, so we apologize for that. And
we left off with talking about the Beatles, more specifically Paul McCartney. Now we're going to go shift gears towards a different Beatle. He's less known, but still up there with the rest of them, Ringo Starr. So, Ringo Starr was actually a self-taught musician. He started practicing on a makeshift drum kit, which included a biscuit tin with thimbles and firewood. If that taught us anything, that means he's a poor British person. But he made it out. His unique loose
nice
style of drum, his unique loose style of drumming was actually a result of the fact that he was left-handed and playing on a right-handed drum kit. This caused him to lead with his left hand, giving his drumming a distinctive sound that many have tried to emulate, but many more have failed to replicate.
Yes, unfortunately. Have you tried to replicate his sound? Jordy is a drummer.
Have I tried? I think I have tried in the past. I think what they mean by his leading with a left and is more like playing open-handed. And so I have tried playing open-handed in the past, and I can succeed playing open-handed, but I would not sound as good as Ringo Starr.
Yes.
But my uncle can, Andrew.
Oh, he can sound like Ringo Starr.
Yeah.
I need to hear this. I don't know what Ringo Starr distinctively sounds like. You know, like, it's not like a...
You gotta listen for it.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, it's like something you gotta, like, kind of, like, tune down the volume for. Like, you know, like turn all the other, like, stuff off
yeah,
so you can kind of hear...
Sure.
I guess that would be kind of wild, though, because then what are you listening to? You're just listening to drums.
So our poor British hippie here was actually a hippie as well. So he had a famous catchphrase, peace and love. He was born out of a desire to spread positivity. As he explained in interviews, he was tired of signing autographs, so he decided to instead send a message of, quote, peace and love, end quote, to his fans. Starr was the oldest member of the Beatles. He was born a few months before John Lennon, who was the next oldest member. All right, so before we continue, here's a quick ad from our sponsor. Very nice. So, let's begin talking about his early life and childhood. Kobe, take it away.
All right. So, born Richard Starkey on July 7th, 1940 in Dingle, Liverpool, England. Well, that's a pretty different name than Ringo Starr. I mean, I guess Starkey, which is like, you know, where he gets a star. But, I mean,
Richard,
where do you get Ringo from Richard?
Here's my theory, Jacob. I think that the R-I in Richard is the same R-I in Ringo.
Yeah, but then where did you get Engo?
Well, I think we could try to discuss that a little later. I think he got that later in life.
Yeah. Okay, yes. But he was raised by his mother, Elise, and his stepfather, Harry Graves. His father, who was also a Richard, he left the family when he was young.
That sucks, bro.
Yeah. Well, and then due to frequent illness, he spent much of his childhood in hospitals, unfortunately. These health issues disrupted his education, resulting in limited academic achievements. So I guess he wasn't book smart. But somehow he had that musical gift. At 13, he contracted tuberculosis and spent 2 years in a sanitarium, where he was introduced to drumming in a hospital band. Whoa.
That's cool.
That is pretty impressive. I mean, like, imagine you're suffering from, like, tuberculosis. Tuberculosis, like, yes, it was, like, you know, it's not as bad as being in the 1800s tuberculosis. But, like, tuberculosis in general, like, that's just a terrible disease. Like,
okay.
I mean, like if you get it, like, it's bad. It's very bad. Mm. And then after he recovered, he joined the workforce, which his first job was actually a British railway messenger.
Huh.
So it's a pretty far off from where he kind of, you know, went.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, like, it had, like, I don't know, like, no significance to his, like, actual life.
No, he definitely had a difficult upbringing, but,
it sounds like he didn't have a lot of, you know, in his early childhood, it sounds like he didn't have a lot of, like, I don't know, like, it seems like only at the age of 13 did he, like, start to get a, like, I guess, like, an understanding of music. Being a musician, and kind of, like, even, like, being introduced to drumming in a hospital band, like,
mm-hmm.
like, at 13, like, we've covered artists in the past that have had, like, like their whole life, like,
yeah.
including their early, early childhood,
musical
they had, like,
family,
all this music.
All
it's, like, really insane, honestly.
Yeah. so let's jump over towards 1957, where he joined his first band, the Eddie Clayton Skiffle Group, and he was, of course, the drummer there, only at 17 years old. Then 3 years later, in 1960, he becomes a part of the Rory Storm and the Hurricanes, which was one of the leading bands in Liverpool at the
time. So already we're kind of seeing him start to, like, you know, like, at the age of 17, he's already, like, getting into bands mm-hmm. in his local scene.
Yeah.
And not only that, but, I mean, like, Liverpool at the time was obviously big. So to have one of the leading bands there is a really good achievement, especially definitely. Only 3 years after, well, it was in 1960 that he became a part of Rory Storm and the Hurricanes.
Yeah, 20
which,
years old.
Which is pretty insane. That's a 3-year progression. And he's already in a lead band.
Crazy. While with the Hurricanes, he was dubbed Ringo. Because of the rings he wore.
Was not because he had an R.I. in
his name. I think it helped.
Well, sure, it might have helped, but it definitely did not contribute.
And the star was for his star solos. I guess he had really good solos at the time. We'll definitely have to listen to that later.
I would be willing to question if he chose star because it was in his last name, correct?
Yeah, no, it shortening it down.
I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, that could make sense. I mean, I don't know. I just feel like if, like, we gauged him, like, I don't know if he'd agree with that.
Well,
but I guess we can't ask him, so either way.
So 2 years later, in August 1962, he was invited to join the Beatles, replacing the original drummer, Pete Best. Do you know who Pete Best is?
I actually have no idea. I always thought Ringo Starr was, like, in the band, like, from when they started it up.
Yeah.
Like, actually, we will do a little bit of coverage on Pete Best when we do our Beatles episode coming up soon. And, So his steady beat and feel for the music quickly became an essential part of the band's sound, the Beatles era. And so, obviously, let's go into that a bit. I mean, obviously, in September 1962, his first recording session with the Beatles for Love Me Do. And that was a pretty big song. Like,
very big song.
Like, very big. And especially, like, think about this progression. Like, we have here that he was in... the Eddie Clayton Skiffle Group, a first band, 1957. In 3 years, only 3 years, he managed to become, like, basically one of the top drummers in Liverpool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, 2 years later, essentially gets invited to join the Beatles, which I guess at the time they weren't at their peak.
Couldn't have been.
But I guess his style became what the band liked. Mm-hmm. So essentially... that progression is amazing. And then in September, he's already out here recording songs like Love Me Do and making appearances like 2 years later on the Ed Sullivan Show, which essentially opened up America to Beatlemania.
Yeah. But despite his legendary status as a member of the Beatles, Ringo Starr was actually not a fan of the iconic Beatles hit A Hard Day's Night.
Oh, I like that song.
Yeah, I love it too. But he described this in 1964 interview. He described it as one of the lousy songs. And
I mean, I guess, like, from his perspective, I think he might be putting a little bit of his own, like, he might be, like, considering from the perspective of like being a drummer and playing it. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like he might feel like it's too simple.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, like, there's not, like, any complexity in it.
There isn't a lot of complexity in drumming throughout the Beatles.
Yeah, but I mean, like, but this specific song, though, I mean, like, it really, I guess, also wasn't, it's just a catchy song. Like, mm-hmm. it really doesn't capture, like, the great poetry from the Beatles.
I really think that he wanted to do more for himself and really implement more drumming in his own feel to the Beatles, which is why he wrote and sang lead vocals on several Beatles songs, including Yellow Submarine and Octopus's Garden.
Again, two big hits, but, I mean, let's focus on Yellow Submarine. I mean,
really
Yellow
big
Submarine,
hit.
Big hit. I mean, that's, like, basically a childhood, like, what do they call those? Childhood rhymes or something?
Nursery
rhymes. But, I mean, it's a huge nursery rhyme.
Yeah,
like,
no,
crazy big.
I think that might be one of their biggest songs.
Yeah, I can't imagine. I mean, like, what other song would be bigger than Yellow Submarine? I mean, like, the Beatles have a lot of songs that are big, but Yellow Submarine was the one that, like
Did
that was one of the big,
up,
big ones.
Did the Beatles do Shake It Up, Twist and Shout?
Twist and Shout? I believe they did. Either that or they covered it. But
that was pretty big.
That fact needs to be actually fact-checked.
Mm.
But I'm pretty sure they did sing the song Twist and Shout.
Yeah, so he was the first Beatle to truly embrace a transcendental meditation. Really, he smoked a lot of acid. He was on a lot of acid. And he was a big hippie. Star and the others, Beatles, learned this practice from someone named Maharishi Mahesh Yogi in 1967.
That was good to put respect on the whoever that guy's name Yogi. Is. But that was a pretty good pronunciation.
Yep. A year later, in August of 1968, he actually briefly quit the Beatles during the making of the White Album due to internal disputes. Right, we didn't get a lot of information on that, but he was persuaded to return.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, the White Album is not really one of my favorite albums.
No, probably because Ringo wasn't really in it.
Well, definitely not because of that. I don't know. I never really vibed with the White Album from the Beatles. But honestly, what a good time to take a break, I guess, right? Yeah. I didn't think it was. A lot of people would agree with me that it wasn't the most amazing Beatle album. I mean, the one thing that you can say about the Beatles, which is crazy, is that, like, if you really think about it, at the time, every single one of their released songs was basically a hit.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because that's not how it works anymore. Like, no. You can release a million songs, one of them could be a hit. But that's it.
Yeah.
But either way, in August 1968, when he briefly quit, and obviously, like, we'll leave off at that, but April 10th in 1970, the Beatles officially break up, and that is where his solo career actually begins. So it starts out that he releases his debut solo album, Sentimental Journey, in 1970, covering many pre-rock standards, which is I guess it's just his way of trying to keep up with, like, how times have been changing, especially uh-huh. because, like, Beatles were rock, but when it came to, like, I mean, like, it was just, I guess, R&B. A lot of, like, yeah, like, it music did change in the 70s. I mean, you had competition with Zeppelin, you had competition with, like, all these big bands, like Pink Floyd and stuff, all of this was, like, starting to become, like, more, so, like, it was just a lot of competition. You also have to remember that there's drummers like John Bonham now out there and stuff like that. And that's a lot of competition to keep up with, especially because, you know, like, he came in, like with one of the most famous bands, sure. But at the same point, like, now, like, what is he going to do? Like, there's, like, it's going to be hard to kind of, like, blow up when there's already other drummers who are kind of taking, like, his possibility.
How many drummers do you know that also, like, sung songs and covered their own songs and really put together a group of people?
Not right? A lot, honestly. It is a pretty unique thing to have a drummer do that. Because, the ability for a drummer to hit, like, the amount of drums that they do, in a stupid way to say it, and not only that, to sing, and also to be able to, like, kind of, like, pull the crowd together, it's pretty impressive.
Yeah. No, I definitely agree. There's something in, like, the, you know, little music world called pulling a Ringo, or I've heard it before.
Pulling a Ringo.
And it's where you take the drummer and you ask the drummer to, you know, sing some lyrics, part of the song. Yeah. So, moving on, in 1971, he achieved commercial success with the release of the single, It Don't Come Easy, released his most successful album, Ringo, in 1973, featuring the number one hits like Photograph and You're 16.
I've heard Photographs before and You're 16. I mean, it was okay. I mean, it's not the part. You know what the thing is like, I don't know. I mean, like Ringo Starr, it was just, I don't know. It was.
It's weird.
It's just without the Beatles, it's like almost like a little like.
It's a little weird. It's a little strange. Ringo Starr on his own, it's definitely is not the same feeling as Ringo Starr with the Beatles. It's a weird song. You're 16, like some lyrics, like, you come on like a dream, peaches and cream, lips like strawberry and wine. Like, these just aren't lyrics that feel normal. They feel a little off, and Ringo was kind of like a little off guy.
That was like a known thing. Like, I think he's a lesser known Beatle, like, mm-hmm. quite literally. Either way, in the mid-70s, unfortunately, his career took a downturn due to personal and financial struggles, which is insane because you have to think, this guy just came from the Beatles. How is he already struggling financially? Mm-hmm. Especially because they were the biggest band at the time. But then he married Maureen Cox in 1965, and they had three children before divorcing, unfortunately, 10 years later. He married an actress, Barbara Bach, in 1981. I had to put the Bach in there. They have been together ever since in the 1980s. He sought treatment for alcoholism and has been sober ever since. I'm assuming that could be another reason for financial like struggle and whatever. But in 1989, former Ringo Starr and All-Star Band, featuring a rotating cast of rock and pop musicians.
Yeah.
Which is cool because, I mean, honestly, he...
All-Star Band... Can't go wrong.
I mean, look, Ringo in a band is a lot better than Ringo in solo. I think that's part of also the reason. Like, I mean, I guess, like, you know, at the time, like, we have to think about it from today's perspective. You know, the fact that the Beatles, like, Beatles records now make insane money. That's why you see Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr. I was about to say John Lennon, but he's dead. Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr are both making a lot of money just off of their old albums, and they're getting pressed again, mm-hmm. which is amazing.
Crazy. Ringo Starr appeared in several films and TV across the 1900s,
1980s, 90s. 1900s. Yeah, okay.
Most of the 80s, including A Hard Day's Night, Help, and a narrated The Child series Thomas and Friends, from 1984 to 1986. I actually watched Thomas and Friends growing up. I don't know if I watched those particular episodes from 84 to 86, but it's cool to know that Ringo was there in the beginning. He was awarded the Knight Bachelor by Queen Elizabeth II in 2018 for his services to music impact and his music musical impact on society.
Yes.
Yeah, that's Queen Elizabeth II.
That is pretty crazy, especially because, like, it's just Ringo. Like, I mean, I don't mean to be offensive or anything, but it is just Ringo.
I think that what we've kind of learned here today is that Ringo is more than just Ringo.
Yeah.
I think Ringo has done a lot for himself, and, you know, he had a rough upbringing.
Yeah.
And, you know, he overcame a lot, alcoholism.
It is true. He did come, like, I mean, like, you have to think about it. Like, a lot of these, like, artists struggle. Like, you would think that he would have been set, like, right... Like, he would have been, like, perfectly able to, like, you know, like, continue on with life right after the Beatles, kind of just figure everything out. But, I mean, he was having trouble doing that. And then he became an alcoholic, and, like, all this other stuff happened to him. I mean, he got divorced. I mean, that definitely contributed to alcoholism. Yeah. So, it's a little crazy.
Ringo Starr, really, he'd gone through a lot, and a lot of people would just... sulk and drink themselves into depression or
probably death.
Yeah, death. Something bad. But he decided to promote peace and love. He was active in charitable works, including supporting the David Lynch Foundation, which provides transcendental meditation to at-risk populations. If that is what at-risk populations need, then good for Ringo Starr.
Yeah, I'm not very sure that that's what they need. I'm pretty sure, but at least, you know, it is something. I mean, he did contribute at least something to society, and honestly, that's like, you know, you have a lot of musicians that don't do that. Like, they don't care. I mean, like, it's not a necessity for them, so honestly, it's really good that, you know, they do care.
Yeah, no, Ringo Starr was definitely an important part of the Beatles. He definitely helped the Beatles achieve a lot of what they've done.
I would agree.
He added a lot to the Beatles style, but he also had a solo career of his own, and he definitely... used the lessons that he learned in life, right? The struggles he went through, he definitely pushed through and learned from them.
Yeah.
And I think he made the world a better place, and that's all
you can ask for. Yeah, I mean, honestly, that is truly amazing. And, I mean, that basically sums it up for Ringo Starr. I mean, the guy was amazing at drumming. He had a good career with the Beatles. He had a semi-okay career without the Beatles. But, I mean, like, overall, I mean, the guy was an amazing drummer. And he overcame a lot of stuff. He had... like, personal issues that he had to attend to. I mean, you know, obviously, it really affects a musician, like, a lot of the time when they end up, like, having... especially after having three kids with someone and then having, like, divorcing them. Like, that must, like, pack a real toll.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he did overcome a lot of stuff. And honestly, he's alive today, too, which is amazing. You know, he's old, but, like, he's living it up.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so, I mean, that basically sums it up. Jordy, if you want to take the outro away, you got it.
All right, guys, thanks so much for listening. We will return very shortly with the rest of the Beatles and then a whole overarching Beatles episode. Stay tuned for that. That'll be really interesting. If you do want to see more, you can always check us out at anchor.fm/TMTMA. That's just the initials for the music That Made America. Thank you so much for listening. You know, see you in the next one. Bye, guys.
Peace out.